What does the psalmist say about Scripture? Find out today on Changed by Grace. Welcome to Changed by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. In Psalm 19, the psalmist gives six titles for Scripture, as well as six effects. He refers to it as law, testimonies, precepts, commandments, fear, and judgments. Listen today as we look at the attributes, appetite, and authority for God's Word from Psalm chapter 19.
Psalm chapter 19. And we're not just going to look at verses 7 through 9. I'm going to extend it to verse 11. So it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Recently I was reading a story that is told of a college professor who had visited the Fiji Islands. He was agnostic, and as he was there, he critically remarked to an elderly chief when he said, "You're a great leader, but it's a pity you've taken in those foreign missionaries. They only want to get rich through you. No one believes the Bible anymore. People are tired of the threadbare story of Christ dying on a cross for the sins of mankind. They know better now. I'm sorry you've been so foolish as to accept their story." Well, the old chief's eyes flashed as he answered. He said, "See that great rock over there?" He said, "On it we smashed the heads of our victims. Notice the furnace next to it. In that oven we formerly roasted the bodies of our enemies. If it hadn't been for those good missionaries and the love of Jesus that changed us from cannibals into Christians, you'd never leave this place alive. You better thank the Lord for the gospel, otherwise we'd already be feasting on you. If it weren't for the Bible, you'd be our supper. The Word of God is powerful. So powerful to change a cannibal into a lover of people and a lover of Jesus Christ." And we went through that passage recently where it talked about that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, which said the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible that you hold in your hands is a very special book. In fact, the word Bible, it means book of books. And it's called the book of books because it's not only one book, it's 66 books into one. It's 66 love letters from God to us. And their diversity is so amazing. It's amazing because these 66 books were written by about 40 different authors living on several different continents in the nations of Palestine, Babylon, Greece, Rome, Asia Minor, and even perhaps Arabia. They wrote in different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and they were separated in time by some 16 centuries. In the Bible, we see an incredible unity. We begin in the book of Genesis in a garden, and that was called paradise. And there is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We end in the book of Revelation again in the paradise of God where there is a tree. In the beginning, man is driven out because of his sin and forbidden to eat of that tree. And at the end, he is invited to come in and partake of that tree that he might live forever. We began in a garden where there was a river. We end in paradise where there is a river that flows from the throne of God. The same doctrines are taught throughout the Bible. The same person, Jesus Christ, who is the central theme of the Bible. The Bible is about Him. It builds to His coming. It describes it. It interprets what it means. The golden thread is the redemption of sinful man by the grace of God through faith in the shed blood of the Redeemer. Keep in mind that no human publisher commissioned the writing of such a book. No editor set forth a plan. No editorial committee oversaw its development. No one distributed an outline to its different authors. And despite these facts, there is every sort of literature in the Bible, including prose and poetry, history and law, biography and travel, genealogies, theologies and philosophies, and somehow all of these elements combine to provide an incredible unity from Genesis to Revelation. What an amazing book. Tonight, as we look at Psalm chapter 19, I want you to see three features about the Bible that's found in this passage. When we look at this, we see in verses 7 through 9 that there are six titles for Scripture. It is called the Law of the Lord, the Testimony of the Lord, the Statutes of the Lord, the Commandment of the Lord, the Fear of the Lord, the Judgments of the Lord. And there are also six effects for Scripture. And the first appears in verse 7. Notice as we look at the attributes of God's Word, we see that it is perfect. It says there, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now that means that it is complete. The Hebrew word perfect means complete, whole, comprehensive, all-sided, and it can also mean pure. In fact, it's translated without blemish 44 times in the Authorized Version. In Proverbs 30 and verse 5, it says, every word of God is what? Pure. Even Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Even the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 140, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. So God's Word is pure, it's without spot, it's without blemish, but it's also complete, comprehensive, all-sided as to cover all sides of an issue. And that's very important to know. Because there are many things that people today have struggled with, and they go to everybody else but the Bible. And the Bible here can defend itself, it can help you, it can aid you, it can instruct you, it can lead you, it can guide you. It is the truth. But yet, we don't always treat it that way. The Bible says of itself, it is perfect. And not only is it perfect or complete, but it's able to totally transform the inner person. That's what the Word of God is able to do. It's totally able to transform you. It can take someone without hope, and it can give them hope. Remember what your life was like before the Word of God? You remember what your life was like before Jesus? You had no hope. But yet the Word of God, it can take someone without any hope, and it can give them hope. There are many passages that are found in Psalm 119. And let me have you to turn there. And let me just point out some things there where it talks about the hope that the Word of God gives. In fact, Psalm 119 tonight is going to be a chapter that we'll refer back to much because there is such parallel to it as compared to Psalm 19. Look at verse 49. It says, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to what? To hope. The Word of God gives you hope. It causes you to hope. Look at verse 81. David said, my soul faints for your salvation, for I hope in your word. You know, these are good passages for us to memorize as well. Hey, let's just memorize the whole Bible. That kind of is our goal, isn't it? Look at verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. What's it say? I hope in your... Say it.
Word.
Man, the Word of God is your hiding place. He is your hiding place. He's your shield. You can hope in the Word. Look at verse 116. It says, uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Then look at 147. It says, I rise before the dawning of the morning and I cry for help. I hope in your word. All of that, that's said right there in this passage where it could take someone who is wretched, sinful, vile. It can take an impure person and it can totally transform them on the inside. And you know, many times people focus on transforming on the outside. They say, listen, you're starting the wrong direction. You've got to start on the inside. Because God is the one that exposes the heart. He looks at your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your motives. As Chip was asking tonight, why are you here? He knows why you're here. He knows what your motive was in driving here. I hope the motive was the Word of God and worship. I hope as my family prays for you that you go to God and you ask Him to prepare you to meet with the brethren, to meet with the saints of God, to sit down and feast together in the Word and worship of the Lord. There's a preparation that has to take place, and I hope that none of us in here are taking this time as the only time in the Word. You need more than this time. If this is all you're getting, you need to purchase every CD on that table back there. Amen. By the way, you need to purchase every CD on that table anyway. Not for me. I get none of it. It goes right back into the ministry. So, Word of God is able to change you. Amen. And if anything, we see in Psalm 19 and verse 7 that the law of the Lord is perfect and it converts the soul. And the soul is referring to the inner person. Nephesh is the word. And this is exactly what Jesus does at salvation. He changes your life. You know, there's a passage over in Ezekiel 11, verses 19 and 20, where he talks about the children of Israel and that remnant that will know Him, that elect of God. And it says there that He will give them one heart and He'll put a new spirit within them. He'll take the stony heart out of their flesh. He'll give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in My statutes and keep My judgments and do them. And they shall be My people and I will be their God. That is an awesome passage right there, because that is a passage that reflects a changed heart, a changed life. Even 1 Peter 1:23 talks about this when it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Well, what else does the Bible say about itself here? Well, look at the middle of verse 7. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's not only perfect, but it is sure. And it says also there that there is a result because of this. But before we get to that, let's identify what it means that it is sure. Well, the Hebrew word there means trustworthy. It is trustworthy. God's Word can be trusted. And everybody sitting in here has put your life on what is written right here, right? I mean, we've given our life to Jesus. Therefore, we've given our life to what is said here about Jesus, right? And God's Word can be trusted, not just for salvation, but for every aspect of your life. It can be trusted for every decision that you make. It says in Psalm 119, if you're still there, at verse 41, it says, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. For I trust in your word. I trust in the word. I hope in the word. D. James Kennedy, he said that the well-known children's hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know. Finish it with me. For the Bible tells me so. He says, with all the doubts that are cast on the Word of God by the critics of the Bible in the last two centuries or so, we might even sing the song this way, Jesus loves me so? I don't know. I wish someone could tell me so. That's what the liberals are saying, isn't it? Because they don't trust the Bible. They don't hope in the Word. They've been cutting out pages and pages and pages from the Bible. They say, well, I don't believe that Jesus did any miracles, so they cut them all out. Or, I don't believe that there is a hell, so I cut it all out. But you start asking them, is there a heaven? They said, yeah. I said, well, why do you believe that? You cut everything else out of the Bible. Don't tell me that you believe that because it's in the Bible. Because you cut everything else out. And that equally was in the Bible. The Bible speaks of heaven. It speaks of hell. It speaks of Jesus. It speaks of God. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. All of this is in the Bible. But do you trust that? Do you believe that? You see, we read the Word of God and we say, I believe that, but do we do what it says? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, not do the things that I say? See, God's Word can be trusted in every area of your life. It can be trusted to tell you the truth about God. The Bible says in a simple verse like John 3:16, the Bible says that He loves you. That God loves you. God so loved the world. And even in that verse it says He sent His Son to die for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then that verse also talks about Him giving you eternal life. And yet people run around and say, well, I think I lost my salvation. Well, first of all, it wasn't yours to begin with. It was His. Right? Remember in Psalm 51 where David prayed in his confession of sin with Bathsheba? He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of Your salvation. His salvation. His deliverance of you. It's your salvation and it's a work salvation. It's a deliverance that you've come about. And if you believe that you can lose what God has done right here, you've got to revert back exactly to what you used to be like. No knowledge about God. No conviction of sin. You've got to convert right back to that. And then also, if you believe you can lose it, then you obviously had to do something to get it because you have to keep doing something to keep it. So what do you got? You've got to work salvation. And see, the Bible can be trusted with every aspect of your life. It is trustworthy, as it says right there. The testimonies of the Lord are trustworthy. When you hear the testimonies that it gives of itself, it is trustworthy. And so it speaks about the truths about God. It also tells you truths about Jesus. The Bible says He was born of a virgin. The Bible says He lived a perfect life. The Bible says He died for your sin. The Bible says He resurrected from the grave on the third day. The Bible says He's coming back. The Bible says He's coming to judge the world for sin. And the Bible says much more. See, I just don't understand how people can forsake this Word. This is God's living, holy Word. And if there's anything that you would stand on and die for, it would be the Word. We live in a different age than those who fought with their lives to give you what you have in your hands. They literally shed their blood to give you a Bible in your language. And yet, as we've talked about on many occasions, it's so easy to take that Word and just sit it on the shelf and to ignore it throughout the week. And it's easy to get in the flesh. It takes work to walk in the Spirit. It takes work to crucify the flesh with its passions and lust. It takes work to mortify the deeds of the body. It takes work to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. It takes work to let Him have your emotions. Because some people are guided by emotions. They're not working to get rid of that. They're working to live in that. And you run into people who say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I had this experience. Now, they place their experience as authority over the Bible. The Bible is perfect, it's complete, it's all-sided, it covers all sides of an issue, it will totally transform the inner person, and the testimonies of the Lord are sure. It can be trusted to tell you how to live your life. Notice what it says there. It says, the testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It can take someone who is simple, and that Hebrew word means someone who has an open mind. And you might have even used that. Say, well, brother, I like to have an open mind, and I pride myself on an open mind. You know what the Bible says? Close the door. The Bible says it doesn't want you to be simple-minded. You know, you have doors on things to keep things out, and to keep things in. Right? Well, the same is true with your mind. You don't want to expose your mind to some things. And there are things that you put in your mind, the Word of God, the principles of Scripture, that you want to keep there. Right? And when it says here that the testimonies of the Lord are trustworthy or sure, it will make the simple wise. Now, what does wise mean? Well, the word there for wise, it means to be skilled in all matters of holy living. The Word of God can make you skilled in the matters of holiness. But you've got to be in it. You've got to allow it to crucify those passions and lusts. You've got to allow it to transform you from the inside out. You have to surrender. You have to surrender to its Word. Just listen to what the Bible says it does. The effects of it. Well, it says that you can have joy in trials. Remember that in James 1? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You want spiritual maturity? The Bible says the path to spiritual maturity is through trials. You grow through trials. Trials force you to look at what you're trusting. They strip you of all those resources that you're holding on to, and they leave you naked before God. So that you're trusting God and not your resources. Because every time we go through a trial, we think of how we can get out of it. How am I going to get out of this? The Bible says the way through it, or the way out of it, is through it. The only way you're going to get out of those situations is going to be through it. The Bible also says you can have peace with God. It says that in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea of peace there is that the war is now over. The very moment that He calls you to Himself and you believe, the war is now over. You're no longer an enemy of God. The Bible goes on to say that you can have the fruit of the Spirit that's produced by the Holy Spirit in your life. How does that happen? Well, Ephesians 5:18 says to be not drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And as you read the rest of the chapter, it tells you the results. As you're filled with the Spirit, there are going to be things that happen in your life. And to sum it up, Galatians 5:22 and 23 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. All of that is produced as a result of yielding to the Spirit. The Bible says that that can happen. The Bible goes on to say that you can have victory over your sin. You don't have to yield to sin. Why are you yielding to sin? The Bible says you don't have to do that. Look with me over at Romans 6 for just a moment. Notice what he says in Romans 6. Look at verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall have no what? Dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present your slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? See, he's talking about there that you have been now freed from sin, you are dead to sin, you are no longer walking under the law, you're walking under grace, but that grace doesn't give you any license to go on sinning. You don't have the liberty to go out there and sin and do whatever you want to do, thinking that God is giving you enough grace to take that away. He's saying, listen, you are to walk by the new man. You are to walk in the new man. You are to walk as one who is alive from the dead. You are to walk as one who is not yielding himself as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. You are to walk as one who is presenting himself to God as being alive from the dead. See, the Bible says that you can trust its very word. You can trust every aspect of what is written here, the very testimonies, to make you skilled in holy living. That's very important. The Bible also says that you can trust its every word. You know, the word is the truth. It is the truth. We're going to talk about that as it goes down in verse 9 when he says the judgments of the Lord are true and they're righteous. See, you can trust its every word. Ike Reingard, he tells about a story of a woman who was reading her Bible on a public bus. And she was confronted by a belligerent man. And he boldly asked her if she believed everything in the Bible. And she said, she did. He then said, if you believe everything, then explain to me how Jonah lived for 3 days in the belly of a whale. Well, she answered, she said, I don't know, but I believe he did. Then the man became more agitated. He said, lady, you should be able to explain what you believe. And of course, she quietly repeated her inability to know exactly how Jonah survived. But she noted that she would ask him once she got to heaven. Well, sarcastically, the rude guy said, and what if Jonah didn't make it to heaven? And she said, well, then you ask him.
You've been listening today to The Sufficiency of Scripture, taken from Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 11. Today's message is available on one full-length audio CD, and it's made available today by calling us at 904-651-3351. Or you can go to our website and download the free MP3 by visiting us at www.changedbygrace.org. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for joining us today, and I hope you'll join us again next time as we study from God's Word. Do you struggle to memorize Scripture? Have you ever considered singing it? Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I'd like to help. Visit my website at steveherford.com. There you will find over 40 Scripture memory songs, like the one playing now. Again, visit us at steveherford.com to learn more.